Nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out, how valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your Chantress of Everything Valuable and Beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And back in 2020, I covered a young artist, Minga Opazo, as she was opening at the Architectural Foundation Gallery. And I went to the show, and it was stunning. She's a textile artist, but she is a very wide thinker as far as an artist is concerned. And I happened to find that she was doing a number of shows all throughout the Central Coast. And I asked her if she would come on for just a short little hello here so I could just talk to Minga a little bit about what she's up to. And just to introduce a little bit, right now she's at the Bunker Art Space, and she'll be in Gavilac's booth at Felix Art Fair. She's in a show, Dirty Laundry, at the San Luis Obispo Art Museum. And we'll talk about that because there was an interesting discussion there. She also has a great presence at the Palos Verdes Arts Center. And it's fiber art. The show is Fiber Arts from Southern California. But what really fascinated me, and I just wanted to praise her for this, I found out that she, one of her pieces, and Richard, you can't see this, I don't know if you can, but there's American Scientist magazine. She's on the cover of American Scientist magazine, September, October, 2022. And the reason being is, Richard, can you see that here's fabric here, and then there's mushrooms coming off the top of the fabric. But what I find out is that Minga is interested in micro-remediation research on textile waste. And I thought, well, okay, what is that and is that important? And I did a little research and I find out that the average American discards 81.5 pounds of textiles every year. We throw away our clothes, our sheets. We just throw them away, 81.5 pounds. Now, you say, okay, well, that's, you know, almost 100 pounds per person of everybody in this country. Now, does it matter? Well, it kind of does when you consider 11.3 million tons of fabric end up in landfills. And what Minga's interested in doing is saying, okay, so if we are a, you know, fast food, fast clothes society, and all of the textiles we use in our daily life, 80% of all textiles end up in, 85% end up in landfills. And landfills are, that's a big part of what's in a landfill. So what are we going to do about it? Minga's featured on the cover of American Scientist because she's thinking about what to do with discarded textiles. It has to do with mushrooms. And the headline of this particular article in Sculpting Science is an immersive experience for exploring complex ideas. And I'm so proud of Minga because here she is, you know, a textile artist with wonderful background, MFA from CalArts, and then a BFA from the University of California, Berkeley. Some wonderful artists showing many, many places, as we learn. A number of museums throughout the Central Coast, but she's thinking outside the box big time. And I encourage you to take a look at her work. Minga is her first name, Opazo, O-P-A-Z-O. And Minga, thank you for being here. I know it's a short little visit, but
yeah.
How cool was that? Now, did you find out that, did American Scientist magazine, did they come to you or did you court the article?
Well, thanks for having me. No, actually my neighbor in Ventura, Rob, he writes for American Science magazine, and I was walking my dog and he started talking to me and I was like, yeah, I do art and here's my website. And he became really interested in what I was doing. And so he wrote an article about my work with other artists that are sculpting, doing sculptures in science. And then American Science magazine sent me an email saying like, can we use this picture to put it in the in the magazine. And I was like, sure. And then that's how it turned out.
So tell me quickly before we let you go, how did you come up with this idea that mushrooms were a good way to break down the fabric waste that we so blithely throw into our landfills?
So I've been working with textile waste for about 4 years, and I've been working doing sculptures, kind of showing the problem of how much textile waste and how much fast fashion is doing an impact in the environment. And then I've been doing a lot of shows with sculptures and numbers, telling people how bad it is. But as an artist, I wanted to move forward, and I was thinking more of like, okay, I'm making people feel guilty, but I want to find some hope in this situation. So I met Danielle Stevenson. She's a scientist at UC Riverside. She works in toxicology and mushrooms and mycology. And so as many people know, but textiles, new textiles and fast fashion is some natural fiber like cotton or hemp mixed with plastic. So the fibers of plastic, of microplastics, are very small, but if you put it in a landfill, it won't go away because it's plastic. And so mushrooms are known, there's a lot of research going around with micromare remediation, basically introducing mushrooms into different like contamination sites or oil spills. And so I was thinking, if the mushroom is already digesting oil, can it just digest plastic that is mixed with a natural fiber? So the mushroom will tackle the natural fiber first, and then it will tackle the microplastic that has the fiber that we have. So in my studio in Ohio, I do a lot of, I have like my own little lab, like my DIY lab, because I'm not a scientist, I'm an artist, but I'm experimenting with a lot of science. And then I introduce mycelium, mostly oyster mushrooms, to my sculptures to digest the sculpture. So it's like a time-based sculpture.
So it's a time-based sculpture, and the mushrooms are digesting the sculpture as time goes on. Fascinating, yeah. Mm-hmm. fascinating. Again, the young artist I'm speaking to, actually born in Chile, she lives now in Ojai, Minga Opazo. Super, super interesting stuff that she's up to. And take a look at her website if you can, dear listener. And Minga, I know you got an interview in Los Angeles in about an hour, so we'll let you go.
But thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Yeah. Pleasure's all mine. And when we get back from the break, Richard is going to go to quick break. When we get back, I am going to be celebrating the Glow Gala. And that's with Momentum Dance Company. Turns out June 17th at the Libera. We're going to be celebrating 9 years of dance of the Momentum Dance Company. And we're going to have 44 shows or 44 numbers on the program at the Libero that evening. Starts at 6 p.m. Family friendly. We're going to have tap, ballet, jazz, hip hop, contemporary dance, acrobatics, in 44 numbers and 100 dancers. And gosh, this is going to be exciting. So mark your calendars for June 17th. When we get back, we're going to speak to the founder, Betsy Boyack, and we're going to speak to her teacher, one of her teachers at Momentum, Landry Brome. So when we get back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Momentum and why it's important, I think, to have the kind of dance that Betsy's doing. So Betsy, you know, you see that I am I'm sitting in front of this old lady walker. It's because I'm on my third hip replacement. And the reason, I think, is because I was in ballet till I was in my mid-30s professionally. Yes. And I don't even have to tell you the rest of the story on that one. And so, you know, so there is this dance thing that I'm so happy to always be part of, especially in Santa Barbara. But I love that you're combining so many different genres of dance. I think that's so important. Yeah. And it's something that didn't happen when I was a young dancer. It was, you know, you were just in one genre or another. And right, I love right. that you're combining, and also Momentum. Find out that Momentum not only combines different genres of dance, that's really important, but different age groups.
Yeah, we really hit the whole spectrum. Yeah.
Well, love it, love it, love it. I saw in some of the pictures, I saw folks as, you know, in their 60s. I see four-year-olds. I see various programs that you guys do for various age groups and various needs. So if you are a dancer that needs to express oneself and one's creative line, etc., fine, there's a program for you at Momentum. But if you're somebody who wants to stay fit, there's a program for you. You see, it's the art form.
Yes.
And it covers many facets. And that's why I thought, okay, I got to speak to Betsy about the Glow Gala on June 17th and make sure that people understand what important thing that dance can bring to the community. Anyway, let's go to quick break, Richard, and we'll talk a little bit with Betsy, founder of Momentum Dance, and we'll talk about the gala coming up, and we'll talk about her favorite staff teacher, Landry, is with us, and we'll talk a little bit about that. She is a dancer for many years at UCSB, and just, Landry, is Christopher Falafian still at UCSB? Dr. Falafian, is he still there?
That sounds familiar. I feel like I have heard.
Yeah, okay. So he was the head of the dance and theater department there for many years. And I was wondering if he was still there and the head of the company. And he's ex-Joffrey, and I knew him. He knew my artistic director. I was in a Balanchine company, and he, oh, wow. Yeah, so we knew each other's people. We're about the same age. Anyway, so you can see I do love dance. Richard, we'll go to quick break, and then we get back. Let's talk dance with Momentum, dance theater, and also the gala. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. We're speaking with some great people in the dance world here. Betsy Boyack is the owner and director of Momentum Dance Company. She's been a master instructor, choreographer, and dancer. And we're going to talk a little bit about the various genres that she encompasses for about 17 years. And she's been in a world that's been slightly different from my world, dear listener, of dance, in that there's a lot to do with dance competitions in her background, and also in Landry's background. We didn't have in ballet, we didn't have that kind of competition. And as a matter of fact, when I was trying to get her into last Friday's slot to be interviewed, she was at a competition. And so, she started dance really early on in Milwaukee, yay, another Midwesterner.
Yes.
And she has training in hip hop, jazz, lyrical, all these are used to be in my age, either you're either one or right. None of them.
Right.
Hip hop, jazz, lyrical, ballet, tap, and contemporary. She competed for 9 years, and I want to know more about what dance competitions look like today. But then she founded, at the University of Georgia, she founded a hip hop dance program.
And
how cool is that? And she decided, okay, I'm going to try my luck in L.A. And in L.A., she picked up a couple of really good gigs with Will Smith, Backstreet Boys, Jamie King, et cetera. Then she did TV and commercials as a professional dancer. She landed a job as an instructor at the L.A. International Dance Academy in Hollywood. And so then she's in L.A. and she says, okay, well, you know, I'm seeing a niche for myself in Santa Barbara, because we don't have really a company that runs the gamut of all the things that Betsy's talented in doing. And she just got lucky too in finding a wonderful instructor who is also trained that way. And that's Landry Rowe, who we're going to talk to a little bit about. I just want to say that we have to mark our calendars for the Glow Gala at the Libero. It's going to be 44 different performances. jam-packed. So they're starting early at 6 p.m. and it's going to be family friendly. So let's start off by asking Betsy her trajectory. How did that happen that you put this kind of dance theater together?
Well, thank you for having me, Elizabeth. It's wonderful to be back with you. I was trained in that multifaceted competitive dancer arena, mostly in Atlanta, Georgia. I started my competitive dance career in Toronto, Canada, and then continued into Atlanta. And when we moved to California, and I was kind of teaching here and there all over Southern California, my mom had moved to Santa Barbara. And while I was in Santa Barbara, I saw such an incredible dance community, but there was no competitive dance. And I was flabbergasted, like, how do we have so many incredible dancers? And we have no idea what competitive dance is.
No, I don't. And I myself don't. No, I'm from an older generation, I realize, but I don't know what competitive dance is.
So I kind of got a lot of spotlight in about, Landry, like 2012, when Dance Moms, the TV show started. And that's when a lot of kids and a lot of more of the non-dance world was introduced to what dance competitions are, where, you know, you train at a dance studio, you take your 20 some odd dances or more, and you compete against other competitive companies in an arena that weekend, you know, in different styles and different age groups, and you're adjudicated. So everybody gets feedback from the judges. And I think that was my most important thing that I wanted to bring to Santa Barbara. I wanted to get some of these dancers outside of Santa Barbara and expose them to a different community of dancers, let them see dancers from all over Southern California. Sometimes we compete against dancers from Arizona, Nevada. Even we get kids, and when we go to our nationals, we have kids competing from Australia and Canada as well that come to our national competition. So I wanted to get these kids exposed, definitely just out of the Santa Barbara dance community, and let their talent shine in other arenas, but also have them get to train with other dancers, you know, because you're seeing these other dancers compete. And so you're seeing, oh, they're doing that. We've never even seen dancers do that. When we go to conventions, they get to take classes with master instructors from Los Angeles and New York and around the world, really, that come to these dance conventions and train with them. So I just wanted to expose them to so much more. Like, we are just at the tip of the iceberg in Santa Barbara, and there was so much talent here, and there's such a beautiful arts community here. I said, let's take you and expose you, you know, more, and get you out there and let people know that Santa Barbara's on the map. But I started training at a competitive studio. And like you were saying, when I got into company, you immediately are doing jazz, ballet, tap, and lyrical. And so I graduated out of competitive dance in 2000. And we had just started bringing hip hop into the arena, and we were going to conventions, and I went, oh my God, hip hop is my thing. And so my studio started having me teach hip hop because it really clicked with me, and hip hop kind of became my thing. So I chose out of college to go to LA instead of New York, because there was just more of a path for commercial hip hop dancers. Whereas I wasn't necessarily that big of a technical New York Broadway-esque dancer. So that's what took me to LA. So I just was always in our studios. We were always trained to be, you need to have ballet as your foundation. Then you've got tap for your musicality and rhythm and timing. And then jazz and lyrical were just the next steps for competitive dance. So that's really how we're trying to train the dancers at Momentum, is just to be multifaceted and have respect and experience in all the different genres, from ballet all the way up to hip hop. So we encompass all of it, and we start at we've got our twirl classes, which is 3 to 5. Again, those classes, it's a combination class of ballet, tap, and tumbling. So immediately from the first time they walk in the doors, they're getting a mix of everything to lay the foundation from them, and they can choose their path of where they're going. Do I really love ballet? Do I really love, we have kids that come in and they're like, she just loves hip hop and she's just listening to all the songs on TikTok and YouTube, and she just is constantly moving her body. Or he just has so much expression and I just see it in him when music comes on, and they kind of choose their own path. And we definitely offer two options of, do you just want to come in and express yourself an hour or two weekly? Or is this your whole life? Like it was for Landry and I, and you want to compete and you want this to be your main thing that you do outside of school, and you travel on the weekends, and maybe you go to college to do it, and maybe you are training to be a professional dancer or have your own studio one day or come back to teach at Momenta. You know, so we kind of lay it out for all the kids to have the opportunity to push as far as you want to, or just have it be what is fulfilling your soul weekly to do your ballet, tap, jazz, or contemporary.
So I guess my next question, that you kind of answered my next question, is because what I'm envisioning is, and maybe Landry can speak to this too. I'm envisioning, so you're competing. And you're competing, and your income, you're in a company, and your entire company is competing, and your company is looking for their ranking, not the individual dancers.
Well, we do both. Landry, you can, yeah, talk about solos and duos and trios.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because with your group of kids, what you do is you break them up into different dances. So there's about, I would say, how many competitors?
35. We have 35.
Now. So right now we have 35 competitors. And so with our like older teens, like they'll be in a group of 7. And then our younger teens, they're in a group of 7. And we kind of break them up based on levels and age. And so many of them do like multiple dances. And then, so those are our group dances. And then some of the kids have solos. So solos is a dance whenever it's just them. So they do several dances over these competition weekends. Like some of the kids have 5 or 6 dances that they do in these weekends, competing in different categories. There's also duos and trios. So that would either be a group of 2 or a group of 3. And then we have, even this year, which is really exciting, we have a 12-person large group for our babies. So they're like 9 to 12, and 12 of them are all together. So that's very exciting.
How cool is that? So when you're competing, so I guess what I'm asking is, are you competing? In other words, are the judges looking for a dancer that is competent and superior in hip hop, jazz, lyrical, ballet, tap, and contemporary? Or are they looking for the complete package of variety? Or are they looking for a specialist dancer? Like, say, okay, now we have a soloist, and we see that this particular soloist, I imagine it's both men and boys and girls, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So when we go to convention, we do weekends where we go to convention competitions where the kids actually take class for 8 hours on Saturday and 8 hours on Sunday, in addition to them competing all day Friday and then Saturday night. So they have the opportunity to show what they've learned at their dance studio and represent Momentum on stage with their pre-choreographed dances. But then while they're training in their classes, which they do ballet, tap, jazz, musical theater, hip hop, contemporary, the faculty of that convention watch them. And at the end of the weekend, they give out scholarships for those dancers that do stand out, that are multifaceted. Okay, we saw you compete on Friday and Saturday. You did great in your specific dances. Now we're going to watch you actually learn. I want to see how you do in class. How do you learn? A lot of it is also what I love and adore is, who are you as a person in class? Are you a team player? Are you out for yourself? Are you helping others? Are you focused in class? So they watch them all weekend in class. And then at the end of the weekend, the faculty kind of gets together and goes, did you see that girl? Oh my goodness, she was killing it in tap, but then she was also so present in ballet, and we loved her performance in hip hop. And they give out scholarships at the end of the weekend where they are acknowledging, okay, we see that you are multifaceted. You have done your work in all these different styles.
Okay, so that helps me a great deal. So it's across the board yet specific.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then it's also how you are accepted into the community, how you learn, how you give back to the art form. So there's a number of platforms is what I'm understanding. So Richard's telling us we've got to go to a quick break. I want both of you to answer this question when we get back from the break, because Betsy's been a teacher now for 17 years, and she kind of knows what she's doing. So, yeah. You know, so the issue is, how do you recognize talent? I mean, here you have a young, like you say, 9-year-old, 12-year-old. How do you recognize talent? And, you know, it's very interesting. There's been even famous movies about this. There's Billy, what's his name, the dancer, the ballet dancer, where, you know, he's auditioning for a ballet company. And they're like, you know, you're not that good, but boy, you got talent. So
yes.
You don't necessarily have to be good, but how do you see the talent is kind of what I'd like to focus on when we get back from the break. Hey, Rich, we'll go to quick break. And just another shout out. The gala is called Glow, and it is Saturday, June 17th at 6 p.m. at the Libera, the ninth year. 100 plus dancers. We're going to cover the gamut, many different things that we're rehearsing for the show. Tap, ballet, jazz, hip hop, contemporary, acrobatics, all ages. I mean, it's pretty fantastic. So 100 dancers. That's good. He's cram them on the stage that way, and it's going to be so much fun. So don't turn that down, Richard. Let's go to quick break.
To show them how we can do this, and my body just gives out. The my mom, what does my mom say?
Back, I'm talking with Betsy Boyack, and she is the owner director of Momentum Dance Theater or Dance Company. I keep saying dance theater just because that's my background, and basically I can't give her enough credit. She's pulled together some amazing young talent, and that was what I was going to ask Landry Rowe, her jazz contemporary and ballet instructor at Momentum, and Betsy. So, you know, I bring my young son. And by the way, I tried to get him into ballet, and he ended up being a seventh in the country in fencing. And that was just exactly, you know, the you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
The, absolutely. Yeah,
so it transferred.
Yeah, luckily. No, there you go.
Yeah. And so, you know, he got a full scholarship to Duke and was on the fencing team and varsity there and fenced, you know, he still fences now. He's 35. And, you know, so, but how do you recognize talent? Because, you know, that's such a big question. You know, do you say, look, you just don't have it? Or is there something there that springs out? What do you say, Betsy?
Landry, I'll start, but then I want you to kind of piggyback. So I feel like we get two different styles of dancers. We either get the student who they walk in and within their first class, you know, we're looking at each other and we're like, oh, they've got it. You know, it's just in their bodies. It's natural. It just has to be tweaked. They just need the technique, the foundation. Let's take the skills that you already were just given and that are in your body and let's tweak them. Or you have the dancers, which I feel was more of my journey, which is I absolutely adore movement. I love moving. When music comes on, I can't help but move my body. but I'm not naturally flexible. I don't have natural extension. I'm missing some, I don't have the feet that a dancer wants to have. I'm missing some of those like key components, but you have the drive. So we see these students, we're like, they have like, they've got the drive. They want it so bad. You can see they put in such hard work. They're so focused. So you have those two that we see are the ones that I think that really catapult. And I, you know, sometimes a dancer comes in and the parent really wants it because they're an ex-dancer or something. And I, you know, I'm very honest. I'm like, maybe volleyball is not their thing. You know, I am not out to push somebody into my dance studio just so that they're there. I want people that are there because they want to be there. Landry, what do you have to say?
I was thinking the exact same thing. Is I taught like a beginner jazz class last year, and they were all 8 years old, and some of them could get their leg to their head. Some of them had great pointed feet. And then there was some of them that just wanted it so bad. And it was the kids that wanted it so bad that just continued to progress. And like, they didn't have good feet. They weren't flexible, but they wanted to be so good. And it was that drive that has now leveled them above the dancers that they were dancing with, because some of the ones with the natural talent just didn't want it as bad. So they didn't work as hard. And like, you really see the difference whenever you have a class all starting at the same level. And then by the end of the year, you'll see who's really wanted it throughout the year. And you see them kind of, because then they'll start getting better, and you see them, it's like a reward for themselves for all the hard work that they put in. And then that just continually pushes them and pushes them and pushes them. Because whenever they start getting better, they don't want to stop. They want to keep getting better. So they continue
to work. They're seeing that reward from their hard work. You know, at the beginning, it might be discouraging when they're seeing the kids that have the natural legs that are doing, you know, going to their head, and it could be discouraging. But like Landry said, when they start seeing their improvement in other areas and their hard work is paying off, then it just keeps them going. And sometimes what's hard for me to see is the kids that have the natural talent and depend on the natural talent to keep them going, and they don't put the work in. And you're like, no, you've got all of this, don't squander it. Like, work hard and push. And then you've got some that have the natural talent and the hard work, and it's just this like chef's kiss, match made in heaven. But I you know, there are not many kids that walk through the door that we say, we can't really do anything here. You know, they're happy to be there, and they're working hard and they're having fun. But spotting that natural talent is kind of fun to see. Ooh, they really want it, or wow, they just have it. So I think it's those two, right? Those two ways.
I totally get it. It's so interesting because I have two brothers. One is this is here again. I'm thinking back about my own background, you know, in ballet. One has got that compact body. He's not 6'4". You know, he's about my height, which is about 5'6", 5'7", and solid male. The other brother's long and gangly, had a little bit trouble, always needing glasses, etc. The first brother, totally kinetically gifted, completely, could pick up any sport like this, any dance like this. The second one, no. They both decided that, you know, that was in that generation. The skateboard was the thing. They both decided that they're going to build a ramp in the backyard in Illinois, where I grew up, and they made a ramp. And the kinetically gifted one was like, okay, I got it. It's done. You know, this is it. It's next.
Yes. Yes.
The younger one worked his rear end off and was part of the U.S. team in France. I mean, eventually. But I understand what you're saying. That's why I was asking that question. It's so interesting to see, because you're teaching these youngsters where that talent is coming from. And the second question is, How about boys in the school? I mean, we always had, even my own son, I was trying to get him into ballet fairly early on. He was not interested, and I segued him into fencing. But how about boys? Are they a challenge the same way they were in my generation?
Oh, a challenge? See, okay, and now I'm a boy mom. I've got one child. It's a boy. I've got a son. So I'm a boy mom. I think because I've had so many girls as a teacher throughout my life, and it was so far and few between to have males come into the dance studio and get to dance with males. When I get males into the studio, I definitely fawn over them. I'm like, yes, we've got males in here. I think the females are more indecisive and it takes longer. I feel like for the boys, they're either in it or they're not. And there's not really a let's figure it out. It's either, yes, this is my thing and I love this and I'm going to work my tail off, or no, I'm good on this, I'll pass. And it's been a challenge to get boys into the studio. But we, at season 9, we have 5. I want to say every single one of my hip hop classes has a boy in it. We have 2 boys on company. And so our male percentage is growing, which makes me so incredibly happy. Right. And I think they're starting to see boys are welcome in this arena, and we definitely, I don't want to say cater to them, but it's not like you're going to come in and you're doing the same thing that the girls are doing, like it or lump it. You come in and we're going to do things that work for you and showcase your strengths, as opposed to, you know, how tall is Tristan? I've got a 6'2" boy that's dancing with 5'2" girls. So obviously they have different strengths, you know? And so we cater to that, and we see you're not going to do the same things as our tiny little petite flexible girls. If you're a 6'2" male, that strength is in, you know, jumps and leaps and height, not extension. So we really work with the boys and hone in on what they have. And it's really fun to see that I have a boy almost in every single one of my hip hop classes now, even in tap. I've got tapper, boy tappers now. So that is just warming the cockles of my heart, because tap has been dying and I am trying to resuscitate it as much as I possibly can. And we've got a pretty awesome tap program going now. So I try and welcome the boys in and encourage the boys. When you come in, you're not walking into a girls only, you know, environment that's going to be awkward for you. Like, I'm ready for you. And I think that the boys that come in and it's really what they want to do, they stick around. So we're definitely growing the boy aspect, and I absolutely adore it. It makes me so happy.
And it's also fantastic that you talk about tap, the revival of tap, because I remember I was in a company on the East Coast, and we had a choreographer who was interested in showcasing part of the ballet. I think it was some kind of a, it wasn't very kosher, but he wanted to do some tap. The choreographer was like, okay, we're going to throw some tap into this choreography. His friend was named Gregory Hines, one of the greatest
dancers. I knew it was coming.
Yeah. And he brought Gregory Hines to teach bar, which is, he was giving class, in other words. And none of us got it. None of us in company got it, because it's like, well, okay, that's tap. But we did love seeing him take over the room.
Oh, man. I can only imagine.
I can remember how important not only did he have presence, but he had skill, extension, feet, everything. When he danced, you saw nothing else.
Yeah.
So I've always loved tap from that minute on. So it's so cool to hear Momentum is doing something great with tap. Okay, yes. Richard's giving us a sign. Do you see that? We have to go to quick break. And let's talk a little bit about the gala when we get back from the break. Don't turn that down. Back with Momentum Dance and their gala glow coming up.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. My great pleasure to speak to Betsy Voyak, who's the owner, director of Momentum Dance Company, and they're celebrating 9 years of being in biz and doing a wonderful gala called the Glow Gala, Saturday, June 17th at 6 p.m. Tell me what's on the table for the gala.
Okay, so we have everything from our 3-year-old twirlers. there are toddlers. It's toddlers with imagination, rhythm, and a love for dance. And they are 3 to 4 years old. Absolutely magical. I don't want to ruin it and give it away, but they've got props and it's a whole thing. And you know, in that age, you never know if they're going to nail it or not, but it's always entertaining. So we start with that at age group, which they're doing their little ballet dances. And we've got our kinder hip hop and our kinder jazz. Again, just massive amounts of chaos and energy and fun. But then it goes all the way up to our girls that have been competing with me that I've been training for 9 years, who started with me as 6-year-olds that are now 15 and going to these national competitions and walking away with the highest award that you can get. They're doing their contemporary and their hip hops and their taps and their jazzes. So we have everything. We're not doing any solos, but aside from that, we have duets and trios. We have large groups. We have small groups, every single style, every single level, smattered in with our super advanced competitive dancers that are just, I mean, when they dance, even for me to watch, I never danced at the level that they're dancing at now. It's actually, I cry and get really weird every time they dance now, because when they started with me, I said, one day you're going to dance at this level. And I didn't have that level to show to them in front of them. And except if we went to competition, and now they're dancing at that level. And quite frankly, beyond what I ever imagined for them in this short period of time of 9 years. So they're kind of put in there all over the place with all their dances. And then we have a Elvis tribute production number, which is all 35 of the competitive dancers, ages 8 to 16, including the faculty, that all will do the final piece. And that is a 5-minute long dance that incorporates every single style and genre, all the ages, from tap to contemporary jazz and hip hop, all combined into 1 5-minute Elvis based piece that pays tribute to Elvis and was inspired by the new movie that had come out last year, as well as some of his classical. So it's not all just music from the new movie, but some of Elvis originals. So that kind of closes the entire show. And that's just like the fun for the whole family. Everybody's in it. I dance, Landry dances, our other 4 faculty members dance, and then all 35 of the competitive dancers. And it just takes you on a journey of all the styles. So you get a little taste of everything during the entire show, and then it all wraps into the Elvis piece at the end. But we really do kind of cover the whole spectrum, from little ballet dancers to, you know, elite, advanced contemporary dancers, ballet, jazz, hip hop. There's crazy tumbling tricks almost in every dance, probably, I think, at this point. But yeah, it really is just a feel-good show. And I feel like dance has kind of taken a very serious turn recently, and we have not. We have stayed in the make dance fun again, make dance fun for the whole family, make dance something that's celebrated and not necessarily dark and depressing to, you know, yes, that there are those moments that you need to emote, and we have many contemporary dances, but I think the overall feel of what Momentum puts out and what the show is our theme this year was glow. And it's, you know, let your inner self glow, be the light and let yourself shine. So that the whole feel of the show is to just feel good and feel happy and to be proud and, you know, dance in who you are. So it's just, it's a fun, feel good show that just is lifting up our, you know, youth community in Santa Barbara and letting the community come show like all their hard work that they've been doing since August.
Fantastic. One more shout out. Saturday, June 17th at 6 p.m. The Glow Gala for the Momentum Dance Company. Betsy, thank you for being with us. And Landry, thank you for being with us. That's, it's fantastic. I love catching up with the company and seeing what all. It's just so so impressive that you started off with your 9-year-olds and now you got your 15-year-old competition winners. It's fantastic. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Richard, I see you're saying we have to go. All right. Bye. Thanks, Betsy. Thanks, Landry.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.